and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Snicker. Yeah. Waiting for the snicker in the background. I know
it's not in the background, and I'm not snickering. I'm laughing.
Oh, okay.
There is a difference.
Well, a little delayed action on it, that's all.
We just wanted to see how long it would take him before he looked over here.
That uncomfortable silence.
Yes.
The pregnant pause. As they say. Well, today is Sunday, September 9th, 2018. Wow. Can you believe that? It's like, we got a couple more. They were putting up Christmas stuff over at Costco yesterday.
Were they really already?
It's already up. I couldn't believe it. It was like, wow.
What's new? 2 months ago, they were doing Halloween. I don't get it.
I don't know. What's the hurry?
I don't know.
Spend your money.
I just want to get out of 2018 alive.
Hey, you sure 2019 is going to be that much
I hope.
Better?
I mean, you know, there's hope. Hope you know, is eternal. So
I just want to see blue sky again.
That'd be nice. I am so tired.
I have to say, blue sky would be nice.
I should have played that blue sky. It's nothing but blue sky.
Yeah, we're pretty much in Beijing in the North State here.
Yeah, I know. It's like
air quality.
Oh boy. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again for Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning, and our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all around great guy. Jared?
Good morning.
Good morning.
And also, Red Smith.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's helping with the heavy lifting these days. I have to give him credit for that.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have to rewrite your intro, I guess.
Yeah, he's doing some weightlifting over there.
I'm just leaving it as the dude abides.
The dude.
The dude. The dude.
And now Red Smith. The dude. Not the dude, the original dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Woo, yeah, we do need that blue sky coming soon.
Well, I'll tell you what, been dreaming in color. I mean, all the pot fields are burning off.
Just exactly.
Everybody's high.
What's exactly in that smoke?
I don't know, man, but like I say, I've been having vivid dreams lately.
Have you noticed all the drive-through places? Like McDonald's. They're all full. The lines are backed out to the street.
Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night and go, wow, I could go for some fries and a burger.
What is that, man? Pine and manzanita?
Take another toke, my friend.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, like, you know, yet again, the homes and friends and family under threat of fire. We got, what, another 45,000 acres gone and no containment?
You know, I drove through some of the burnout area yesterday up off of Quartz Hill Road over there. Wow. I mean, it was bad. I mean, there are some people. It's amazing that some people still have their homes. I mean, fire burned all around them. Everybody else is gone, and one sitting out there in the middle of the whole thing or something. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, just
odd. But it, man, cars in the driveway. I mean, it was sad. I mean, I was kind of sorry I went up there. It was really sad. Work cut out for them. And I'm just wondering how the permit process is going to be going down there at the county.
Well, they're supposed to be revising some of it so it's not. They're not having to come out of pocket much. But I said supposedly. We haven't seen it yet.
It's not tyrannical and oppressive?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm just saying. That's what they're saying.
Not sure what would change down there to make that so.
I have my own opinion. I just don't want to get bleeped.
It's strictly entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep thinking of John Goodman pulling his 45.
Exactly. You want to know what fear is? Yeah. I just tell you what I think of the permit process on a good day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I could go for a while. I'm going to let it go, though. I'm going to let it go. I just want to have a home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no reason that we couldn't give these guys a pass on their permits. You know, you just lost your home to wildfire and, you know, let's expedite these, get them run through. You've already got your budget. You're already getting paid.
Well, you see, I think the problem with these guys is going to be that they lost the, you know, you can automatically stop your property taxes as soon as you're burnt out, you know, and I'm thinking that they're going to probably take advantage of every little loophole that they can get you on, just because, you know, personally, I don't think there's a whole lot of compassion down there. I think it's all about money and everything else.
Their money.
Yeah, as long as they are getting their money and doing what they want to do with it, I think it's all about that myself. I mean, maybe I'd love to see them prove me wrong, but I don't see it, so... I think until, you know, people are up in arms with pitchforks and torches, I think
there's
going to be business as usual.
Actually, a few statements made by some people that even while the fires were still burning and thousands of people were evacuated, their biggest concern was the loss of tax revenue that we're going to experience in the county.
Yeah, impact fees and stuff.
Yeah, really, that's your first thought, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, bravo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean.
And while we're on that subject, we just want to let people know that we have reached out to the candidates that are running in local offices to try to get them on the radio program, and we've only had one response so far. Yeah. So we are trying.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, we want to make sure we offer this platform to everybody.
Correct.
Whether they take that opportunity up and do something with it is up to them. Well, you know, and I mean, if you're too cowardly to come on the show here and actually get some tough questions, maybe you shouldn't be running or being office in the first place.
What is there to be afraid of with us? We're just a couple of big warm and fuzzies.
Yeah, we're just a couple of teddy bears.
Yeah, come play.
Yeah.
I keep telling you, it's entertainment. It's just entertainment.
It's all about
purposes.
Entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know.
So, anyway, I want to put
wild
that out there.
Wild conspiracy theories that don't exist, except that, wow, there is a deep state, and maybe there is a conspiracy somewhere. Anyway.
We do have a guest coming on.
We have issues connecting up here,
but we will have a guest shortly.
We should have Jeanette Finnick come on here in a minute or two, and she's going to be talking about what's been happening with her and her family since her husband was murdered up in Oregon by the policing agencies up there.
By the powers that be, that might be them now.
Yes.
I'm hoping. So we're going to talk to her, I believe, here in just a second.
And, you know, the saga that has been going on for them and their family and the continuation of it. And, you know, what Jeanette's done is to, you know, step up and bring her husband's message and everything, and what they've been up to. And there's really quite a bit to go over.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess we got a caller on the line, Nick.
We've got Jeanette. Nick on the line. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. You guys were mentioning the people coming on to your, the people that are running for office coming on.
Yes.
You know, I want the opportunity to ask Francie and Christian Schrader what accomplishments they've had in office, because I just can't think of one. You know, the homeless has gotten so much worse here, you know, since Christian Schrader came on, and of course Francie is in on that. And, you know, our unfunded liabilities, they go up this year. Reading is paying $21 million for CalPERS and PARS unfunded liabilities. And I just, you know, they've got absolutely no accomplishments that I can see. I know that Brent Weaver was on Carl Bott's show, and he thought one of his accomplishments is they brought civility to the city council meeting.
by putting everybody at the end. Is that how that works?
That's why we called him Brent Dream Weaver.
You know, I just I can't imagine why they'd want to run again. It must be the power, you know. And I see how the homeless population has exploded, and I think what maybe might be a good move by the state of California and by the city of Redding is maybe put the city council in charge of the plundering salmon stocks in the Sacramento River, and maybe put Fish and Game in charge of the homeless.
I tell you, you know, you're probably not that far off.
I didn't think so. Hey, I got a couple of new websites.
Oh, good.
I stumbled across one. One is called Haywire. Just type in haywire.com, and it's run by a guy named Del Bigtree. Del Bigtree is very well spoken. I think he's an ex-doctor that's on the hunt to get rid of the vaccines.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
and
very good.
He's got about 5 videos on there. I just went to it momentarily. And then I just found this one this morning. I got it off of It Matters Where You Stand. And it is, I saw an article about Bundyville. And I clicked on that, and it comes out of a website called longread.com. And I went to longread.com, and there's all kinds of articles on there that look quite interesting to me.
How are you spelling that Haywire?
Yeah.
Highwire. Then put / Del Bigtree.
High.
Yeah. High.
Highwire.
That's it.
Oh, I thought you said Haywire.
Oh, well, you're talking about me now.
Yeah. Okay.
I used to cut timber, and there was an old guy named Walt McGuire that was an old timber faller. Boy, he had some stories. We nicknamed him Haywire McGuire.
Well, there you have
it. Tell you stories that would insult your intelligence.
Listen, we have got our guest on the line, Nick, so we got to go.
Thanks for calling in and giving us that information.
Right.
We appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
And with that, I do believe we have Jeanette Finnegan on the line. Good morning, Jeanette.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. And we have Mark Herr here, with president of the Center for Self-Governance.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Very good. Well, I just, I guess, to get this started, Jeanette, I'd like to, you know, ask you how the family's doing. You know, I know it's been a pretty rough couple of years here. How are you and your family doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking. My youngest daughter just got married a couple of weeks ago, and so it was an opportunity for all of us to be together, but this time it was for a very joyous occasion.
Good.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Very good. Well, wow. Maybe, I'm not sure where we should start here. Should we start with maybe give us an update on what's going on? Is there still a case against some of the officers involved in the shooting? What's going on with that?
Yes, the wrongful death has been filed. We had a staffing with the judge in July. She kind of laid out the timeline she was interested in. It will be in Pendleton, Oregon. We are dealing with some of the motions to dismiss at this point in time, and we're hoping to begin the discovery phase after the first of the year.
All right. Very
Excellent.
Good. Very good. Now, I've been I pulled up a Wikipedia page on LaVoy.
Oh, that's a funny thing. That Wikipedia is not very accurate.
you think? And that's kind of why.
I think.
That's kind of why I'm bringing it up, is because I want you to sort of tell me, you know, your side of the story and what you know about it, because, you know, this Wikipedia paints a picture of, you know, sort of impugns his integrity as a person, and that you guys were running a cattle ranch for sort of a, you know, a front for your foster parenting and so forth. Maybe you can start there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking at this right now. I just pulled up the Wikipedia, so I got a little bit distracted pulling that up because I remembered quite some time ago my eldest stepson, Tel Finnicum, he was trying to correct it because it says that you're able to correct the information, but every time we would correct the information, it would just go right back, of course. Nobody wants to have the truth on Wikipedia. They want to be able to use that format to, brainwash people. The first thing that I see in the first line, it talks about Lavoie being a spokesman for a militia group named the Citizens for Constitutional Freedom. Well, I don't even know that group, and my husband was not a militia leader. He didn't belong to a militia. He never belonged to a militia. I keep telling people that the only large groups he ever belonged to was his church and his family, and we were both very large groups.
Wow. I mean, the first sentence is a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it has been proven in court that he didn't belong to a militia. But they continue to put that narrative out there because they have successfully demonized the word militia in the hearts and minds of the American people. So it means something awful now instead of what it was intended to mean.
I don't, I don't think a lot of people are buying it anymore, though. I mean, you know, anybody who's got a thinking brain and actually has read the Constitution and, you know, believes in freedom. I mean, Trump has got to be responsible for a lot of this bringing out and calling the fake news what it is that, and this is a part of it. This is a part of the algorithms and Google and YouTube and their thought shaping process in order to sway public opinion in the direction that they want everybody to think as far as, the big government, dependency on government, and government is always right.
Well, we actually went after them some time ago when the situation in Malheur was still going on, when those YouTube videos came out of all those reporters at that hotel and that blatant echo chamber as they were discussing how they were going to report this. I wrote a story up on that about the echo chamber, and we actually had one of the lead reporters that was in that video here on the air and got him to backtrack on quite a bit of what he was talking about and basically admit that they weren't reporting what was going on. They were shaping the narrative and creating it themselves.
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. They wanted to effectively use the label lynching words to be able to lynch these men and women who stood at Malheur. They were standing for our liberties, for property rights. And they were very effective getting together and collaborating on which words to use. You know, terrorist, racist, white supremacist, sovereign citizen. Those are buzzwords for the American people. They automatically were able to put that out there within the first 28, 48 hours, and the whole country felt like, kill them, lynch them. And that was their objective. And they were successful in the beginning, but my family and I have traveled for 2.5 years speaking to anybody who will listen to me to combat that label lynching rhetoric that began. We want to be able to tell the true story about my husband, why he was there, who he was, and what he was standing for. And I think to some degree we are being very successful. You know, there's another point in this Wikipedia. It says that, Lavoie was shot after he fled the officers. Well, he wasn't fleeing the officers. He was stopped at that first point. They both put their hands out. Ryan Payne and my husband put their hands out, but immediately shots were fired at that truck. And that was testified to in court also, that escalated the whole situation. So the Oregon State Police officer escalated the situation. They had a discussion in the truck, which is on video, where they wanted to go to the next county and speak with the sheriff. And if they wanted to arrest him, they could do so after reaching the sheriff.
Which under Oregon law, my understanding is they have a right to request.
Right, and they were complying at the beginning. They were complying with those officers until they were shot at. What are we to do as citizens when you've done nothing wrong? Nothing wrong. There's no warrants for your arrest. You have been able to come and go from that refuge for 26 days or whatever it was without being stopped by anyone. You've been speaking with the FBI personally, up front, shaking hands with them, having conversations. And so you do not feel like you are under threat. We have this documentary series. We have unheard video audio of meetings with the FBI, state officials, meeting with the FBI, the Judge Grassley, Sheriff Ward, the state police, and they are admitting at that point in time that they have broken no laws. They have broken no laws, yet the federal government, Obama administration, Loretta Lynch, Director Comey, send out the whole force of our law enforcement to the little town of Burns. Who actually occupied Burns? It was our federal government. Who actually was, you know, scaring the heck out of all those innocent citizens? It was our federal government, tacked out, armed to the teeth, bringing in military vehicles. For what? A handful of men and women peacefully demonstrating 35 miles out of that town?
Well,
what have we come to?
Well, you know, you look at the first sentence of that, you know, and we talked about the militia group, but it also says, you know, that, you know, he was one of the people who seized and occupied the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. And it sounds to me like they didn't seize anything.
They didn't. They didn't. They had the right to be able to be there. They're part of We the People. That property belongs to We the People. Mm. And, you know, you're allowed to camp out there and do those things. But because the narrative didn't fit the narrative that the president that was, you know, in office at the time, they had to shut them up because the message of liberty is contagious.
Right.
The message of freedom and our rights are contagious, and people can feel it, and it resonates in their hearts and minds. And that was catching on, and people were coming from all over the country to talk to these men to know what it was that they were standing for.
Well,
and public opinion was changing.
Well, was it not almost a direct quote from Ron Wyden that he went and demanded that they stop the virus from spreading?
Yes, it was, during an interview in Coin6 News, absolutely. So even their own senator was saying that it was a virus. I love wearing my pin. I am the virus. I love wearing that pin.
Wow.
I just have to point out also that, you know, there were no warrants or charges until the next day.
Absolutely.
There were no warrants served until the next day, and my husband was already dead. So he didn't even have a warrant for his arrest ever issued, nor did they have real grounds for warrants. And all of the people that were on trial, and my husband would have stood trial with Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy and Clive and Bundy, he would have been in that first set of people. He would have been found not guilty. He was robbed of his due process.
Well, I've watched some of LaVoy's videos and stuff, and you know, if you really watch anything, you know, like when he's out on the ranch and he's talking about freedom and the Constitution, and you have any kind of insight into the man's mind at all just by listening to him, he was a big threat because he was saying, we're not following the Constitution anymore. You know, the BLM's
absolutely
out of control. They're basically stealing our heritage and our grazing rights. Go ahead.
Another part of that, his message was also the fact that these ABC agencies are operating in-house with all three forms of government under one head without the people having any say of it. About it, they're writing regulation, they're enforcing regulation, and then when there's a so-called crime in their mind, then they enforce the penalty right from within the agency without due process, again without the people even voting on the regulations they're putting out there. And that was another part of his argument in reference to the BLM. Who gave them the authority to do these things?
Well, you know, it's like Stalinism. I mean, show me the person and I'll find the crime. I mean, that's really what was going on here. Well, we do need to go to a break, Jeanette. And so
okay,
if you can stay with us here, we'll get a short break in and then come back.
If you want to call in and have a question for Jeanette or talk to her, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. Heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow-moving dreams. Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery from being alone too long. To die from the cold in the arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the town he shined in light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything."
So
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State.
I'd like for let everybody know that they should go to Amazon.com and get the book Only by Blood and Suffering, Regaining Lost Freedom. It's a novel by Lavoie Finicum. And read the thoughts of this man for yourself. Read about, you know, what he was really thinking about and what this whole thing was about, you know, as opposed to the thought-shaping narrative that the fake news and the mainstream, lamestream prostitutes seem to purvey on everything. But I think the facade is starting to come off. I mean, I think everybody's starting to realize we've been being lied to for a long time. You know, you got, so many government officials in collusion with the media. That's more of the problem than us, the patriots out here trying to get everybody to just follow the Constitution. I mean, good grief. I mean, what a bunch of radical people wanting to follow the founders.
Truth
founders' writings. So,
yeah.
We're here with Jeanette Finicum, and we're talking about her husband who was murdered up in Oregon and her fight to preserve Lavoie's vision of what America should be and what it was intended to be. So with that said, let's get back into what we were talking about with this arrest. I'd like to talk more about, you know, the fact that they started shooting from the get-go and, you know, basically set him up to get out of there, because what are you going to do? Just sit there and let him shoot you to a doll rag? You know, and there was other people in the car, and, you know, he did the only thing he could do, which was to hit the gas and get out of there, you know? And what they did was they ran him right into an L-shaped roadblock, which is the classic ambush of a military-style situation. So what can you tell us about that, Jeanette?
Well, first I have a question. You know, since when do we have those kill stops for someone and a group of people and individuals in, mm-hmm. that have no warrants out for their arrest? If it, you know, it was first reported that it was a traffic stop, a routine traffic stop. We all laughed at that. Who sets up a roadblock for a routine traffic stop? I don't get that.
Well, way out in the way out in the middle of nowhere too, and I don't even think there was cell reception out there, was there?
With government trained and paid assassins. I mean, let's call it what it is. That's what HERD is designed to do. The hostage rescue team is they're trained and paid to assassinate people.
And it was actually testified in court for that FBI agent who was indicted for lying and obstruction of justice that the officer down at the first stop radioed ahead and said, "We have to kill Finicum." And so they had it in their minds that they were going to kill my husband before he posed any danger to anyone.
I think it's
I don't believe he posed danger to anyone.
I think it's a belief amongst many of us that the intention that day was to kill all of them.
Yes, I believe so too, but it was actually testified in court by an officer that he had radioed ahead saying, "We have to kill Finicum." Now, granted, that kill stop was set up for everyone that was traveling in those two cars. And you're right. We believe that they wanted to murder everyone in the vehicle.
Well, you know, this FBI agent, Joseph Astorita.
Astorita, yeah.
Yeah. He was tried and acquitted, I guess, by a jury found not guilty on the charges in August of this year, because it was a 5-count indictment for lying about the circumstances at the scene. Oh, we got a motorcycle outside. At the scene of Lavoie's death and obstruction of justice, what happened there? I mean, he had a public defender, and his trial was in Portland. Was the fix
he didn't
him?
Have a pub- he didn't have a public defender. He had a high-priced lawyer out of New York.
Really?
Four of them.
So there's
no public defender there.
So
no,
Wikipedia is lying again.
Yes, the media is lying again. And it was very clear, you know, from the beginning, it was very clear that they were going to be in total control of this outcome by not allowing the public in there while they were choosing the jury or questioning the jurors. That was very questionable. I sat there while I watched Maxine Bernstein, who is from a writer at the Oregonian who covers the courts there in Portland, And she had to call the judge herself and say, hey, why am I not in there? When he realized the press wasn't in there, he allowed her to go in for about the last, you know, hour. But for the whole entire day of going through the questionnaires and questioning the jurors, no form of public was allowed in. They kept us out. So that raised our suspicions there. Again, what kind of jurors are you picking? Are you making sure you're stacking the deck? Well, the answer would be yes. And then secondly, within the first couple of days of listening to the testimonies of the other officers, these elite officers, these highly trained officers testifying to the fact that they could have possibly been the ones that shot off those unaccounted rounds, but they can't remember if they shot. Well, I'm just sitting here. If you're such an elite officer, if you've been so highly trained, you mean to tell me you can't tell me when you fired your weapon? So that raised reasonable doubt in the hearts and minds of those jurors, right? How could they possibly find Astorita guilty if someone else is testifying to the fact that they may have fired those shots?
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like this whole thing has been from the top down. I mean, it looks like you've got in the lawsuit, and again, I'm reading I should go Wikipedia. I was going to say, you know, pick a fact,
lack thereof.
Yeah, lack thereof. But it says that you're suing Kate Brown. Why would you be suing the governor of Oregon?
Why not? She was demanding that there would be a swift resolution to this problem in her county. She wanted them gone. She also escalated it by asking Comey and Loretta Lynch for the elite team to come there and handle it. She's the one that brought in the troops.
And Valerie Jarrett.
You know, and then we watch Antifa all over the country, you know, destroy property, harm individuals. We watch the ISIS building there in Portland be taken over. And government workers not allowed to go to work, and they had that place occupied for what, a month, and nobody was shot and killed. They didn't. Kate Brown didn't call in the federal government to take care of those people occupying her ICE building. You know, it's hypocritical.
Well, it seems to me that
they only want to silence the liberty-minded individuals. They only want to silence those who are fighting for this country and the Constitution, and that is their objective.
I got to agree with you. I mean, it's a sad day in America when the Constitution is what's radicalized as opposed to the Communist Manifesto, which seems to be the plan that a lot of these people are following, whether willingly and with knowledge or just out of plain useful idiotness. I wanted to get into this Larry Wooten report. I mean, evidently there was a communication that Larry Wooten put out, and he was Larry Clint Wooten, and he was a special agent for the U.S. Department of Interior Bureau of Land Management. And I have the report in front of me, and you know, there's some things that are redacted on it, but in general, it's pretty much there. And this is a damning report of this whole thing of Clive Bundy and the people that were involved. And these same people that were involved with the Bundy problem, if you will, or the Bundy, you know, protest, are the same people that were involved in this whole thing with your husband's death, right?
Yes.
And he's saying in this report that these people were unprofessional. And this is a guy that's on the inside. This is a guy who was actually working as a special agent who was documenting all of this for the Department of the Bureau of Land Management. And he is a National Criminal Discovery Coordinator is who he sent this to. But he's a special agent working for the Department of Interior. And
right.
Go ahead.
And he was there to investigate, you know, Dan Love and his tactics and the different situations that had continually for over years, over a period of almost 10 years of abuses by Dan Love and his minions. You know, he testifies to the fact in that report that there were pictures with Clive and Bundy and his family with X's through them, as if that they needed to eliminate these individuals. They had a hit list.
A kill list,
He bragged about the deaths of Dr. Red and
Yeah.
And the suicide that happened shortly after of the informant that felt so guilty about Dr. Red taking his own life that he ended up taking his life. There has been so much, you know, that is the reason why Clive and Bundy and Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy are not being held in Nevada any longer, because of the abuses of our government in falsifying records, the district attorney for not allowing the records to be turned over to the defense, for them falsifying reports, and it is just, it was so egregious that the judge had no choice but to dismiss with prejudice based on all those Brady violations. And I'm here to tell you that even though they only she only ruled on 5 of those to be Brady violations out of the 7, I think, that were presented to her, they, the Bundy family, had many more ready to submit to the court, but they had taken those and she had already ruled and the case was dismissed. And
well,
so
they hid exculpatory
so much more corruption
evidence
that isn't even out there.
Yeah, they were hiding, like Greg said, they were hiding exculpatory evidence in order to, you know, show that there was, you know, their case was, in fact, good against the Bundys and so forth, when in fact they didn't comply with the law and discovery issues.
And it's not only Dan Love. If you look into Special Agent in Charge Greg Bretzing, he has a long history of this kind of behavior in his record.
I want to read this just this little bit from the report, and then we'll move on here. This is from what Wooten said. I routinely and this is verbatim. I'm reading right off the letter. I routinely observed, and the investigation investigation revealed a widespread pattern of bad judgment, lack of discipline, incredible bias, unprofessionalism, and misconduct, as well as likely policy, ethical, and legal violations among senior and supervisory staff at the BLN's Office of Law Enforcement and Security. The investigations indicated that these issues amongst law enforcement supervisors in our agency made a mockery of our position of special trust and confidence, portrayed extreme unprofessional bias, adversely affecting our mission, our agency's mission, and likely the trial regarding Clive and Bundy and his alleged conspirators, and ignored the letter and intent of the law. Wow. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that he pretty much described how the American people feel about why the Americans feel that we cannot trust our federal government, why we cannot trust the officers that are investigating certain incidences, because they have a hidden agenda and they go out there to destroy us. They have no regard to truth. They have no integrity anymore. And we're watching that in Washington with Comey and all of the other agents that are being dismissed or fired because of their political ideology. It is ruling their decision-making process, and that is not how it's supposed to be. And they've been able to do this for decades. You know, my husband went up to Malheur to stand for the ranchers, to stand for property rights. He was trying to help the Hammonds because he was one that didn't like bullies, and he saw that they, in his mind, he saw the federal government being a bully. The federal government has continued to be a bully in so many instances across this country. I am, you know, everywhere I travel, I hear more and more stories about our government, our state government, and our federal government bullying private citizens and individuals, mm-hmm. private business owners, out
Absolutely.
Of their livelihood
yep.
and their way of life, because it meets their whatever agenda that they have in mind, whether it's to build a big mall or a brand new building. They want to take property. They want to take our livelihood and our way of life away from us, because I guess they see that maybe we're expendable. But
yeah.
no one
yeah.
is expendable.
Well, we got to go to a break, and I want to play a little short clip here of Lavoie right now, and then we'll go to a break and come back, because we got to get one in before the top of the hour, and then we'll continue this. But I think this is an insight into the mind of Lavoie Finicum and what he was thinking.
Hello, everyone. This is Lavoie Finicum from the Cowboys Stand for Freedom. This is a very important video that I'm making. I'm hoping that you can have a little bit of patience as I try to do a little bit of educating. I'm calling this part one, Lavoie versus BLM. I'm here on my ranch, and it's beautiful out here. it's time that we do something more than just talk about freedom and about defending our Constitution. So I want to educate, and I want to teach, I want to let you know what I'm personally doing to defend our Constitution.
We'll bend.
That's good.
We will not bow. We will not comply. We will not bend.
And with that, we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We got about 5 minutes to the top of the hour and a hard break. So we have a caller on the line, Billy Bob, and have you got a question or a statement for Jeanette? We've got a short amount of time here, only 5 minutes. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I just want to make one comment on Mrs. Finnegan. I am absolutely endeared and traumatized by the fact that you have gone through all of this with your husband. And I don't know how to tell it to you, but we in the North State, we so much appreciate your patriotism. So, anyway, keep it up. Keep the push up. Let's get these guys. We got to get them done. But thank you for all you've been put to. And I can't express my personal. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Billy
Bob.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks, Billy Bob. So, wow. Is there any place that, people can send money to donate to your cause, Jeanette?
So I'm sure, with
attorney.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
My wrongful death is coming up, and it is going to be quite intensive and expensive. Unfortunately, that is the way it is. But you can go to my website, onecowboystandforfreedom.com. There is a legal fund, PayPal, linked on that page. You're welcome to go there, and we would appreciate anything that you could help us with. Thank you for asking.
Not a problem.
And thank you to the last caller. I really appreciate his kind words and his support.
Well, I think Billy Bob echoes the sentiments for a lot of us here.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to try to help you out as much as possible. And one of the things that struck me when I listened to some of LaVoy's videos that he did was, it's what you stand for that counts. I mean, that was the message, and how, it's not what has happened to you and the hardships that you endure as much as how you deal with them and how you stand up to it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. There's something that I wanted to kind of talk about, and you kind of led me into it here. You know, my husband was a courageous, strong man filled with a great amount of integrity. I am so proud of him, and I'm proud to have been his wife. And but he was not a man of hate. He loved people. He loved his family, his extended family. He loved his children and me, and he loved this country. And he says so. He tells you he loves you and that he loves this country. And, there's different groups out there that want to try to co-opt his message because they feel that it can benefit them to some degree in their cause. And I appreciate that. However, my husband was not a man of hate. And, Mark here was talking to me about how there are thinkers, talkers, and doers. And what we really need, We seem to be talking more about the doers, the police, the FBI, the people that are implementing the policy that is handed down to them. But we really need to be thinking about who the thinkers and talkers are, the policymakers. That's where the problem is. It isn't in the police, because my husband was not a cop hater. He wasn't a blue ISIS member. He was a man who was trying to get reform in the policy end of things and getting people to think about what the thinkers and the talkers were doing.
And to
go back to the Constitution and to what it laid out there. That's what he was striving to do.
I don't mean to cut you off, but they're going to cut us off at the top of the hour. So if you can stay tuned with us and pick that up on the other side of the hard break, that'd be wonderful.
You bet.
All right. You're listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You remember. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Authorities in the Carolinas are warning residents to prepare for a potential disaster as Hurricane Florence gathers strength ahead of a potential landfall later this week, maybe Thursday or Friday. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper said in a statement this morning that coastal and inland residents alike need to get ready for potentially heavy rainfall and flooding from the storm. President Trump has proclaimed National Days of Prayer and Remembrance.
In a White House proclamation, the president calls on Americans to pause in honor of the memory of the nearly 3,000 people killed in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. He says the nation watched with stunned silence, tears, anger, and utter disbelief as multiple tragedies unfolded on that day. During this observance, the president says, "We pray that all find peace in the love of God. We pray for guidance, wisdom, and protection for the men and women in uniform, and we pray for the unity of our nation." Greg Clugston, Washington.
North Korea marks its 70th anniversary by sending a letter to the U.S.
I know that a letter is being delivered to me, a personal letter from Kim Jong-un to me.
That's President Trump speaking to reporters on Air Force One Friday.
It's actually an elegant way. It's the way it used to be.
The State Department says that letter is now in the hands of the Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo had planned to visit North Korea for more talks last week, but the president called it off, citing insufficient progress by North Korea toward denuclearization. Since then, however, the two leaders have exchanged positive public statements about one another.
He said, "I have respect for Trump. I have respect for President Trump."
As for this latest communication,
and I think it's going to be a positive letter.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
A sense of calm has returned to Iraq's southern city of Basra, this after a week of violent protests over unemployment that left at least 15 dead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
China's military appears to be losing its monopoly on the communist country's space program.
A rocket developed by Chinese company iSpace is carrying three miniature satellites into space. It's another milestone for the country's budding private spaceflight industry. China's space program has traditionally been run by the military, but a number of commercial satellite launchers have also sprung up in recent years. They're modeled on private U.S. companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin. Rich Thomason reporting.
Elsewhere, China's trade surplus with the U.S. widened to a record $31 billion in August as exports surged despite American tariff hikes, potentially adding fuel to President Trump's battle with Beijing over industrial policy. Exports to the U.S. rose over 13% to $44.4 billion, picking up from July. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Using the PSA blood test to screen for prostate cancer has become a controversial proposition. Dr. Charles Schneiderman has more.
PSA, or prostate-specific antigen, is high in almost all men with prostate cancer, PC. However, PSA can also be high in other prostate diseases, particularly benign prostatic enlargement, common in older men. A British expert panel analyzed five major clinical trials of PSA screening. They concluded PSA screening does not extend life expectancy by finding the aggressive PC early and led to harm by provoking invasive procedures in men who didn't need it. This is Dr. Charles Snyder reporting from Washington.
Today is Sunday, September the 9th. It's a birthday for some notable people, including College Football Hall of Famer and former NFL star Joe Theismann, 69 years old. Actor Hugh Grant turns 58 today. Funny man Adam Sandler has 52 candles on his cake. Pop and jazz singer Michael Bublé is 43. Contemporary Christian singer Lauren Daigle, 27. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Got to get back to America.
Yes, yeah. We do.
I want to read something here. This is on the website of One Cowboy Stand for Freedom. The fight for freedom is God's fight. So when a man stands for freedom, he stands with God. And as long as he stands for freedom, he stands with God. And were he to stand alone, he would still stand with God. A man will be eternally vindicated and rewarded for his stand for freedom. That's actually Ezra Taft Benson from the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, where one or two gather, there I am.
There you go. I wanted to say something about what Jeanette was talking about, three kinds of people. Now, I was always told there was three kinds of people. People who watch things happen, people who make things happen, and people who wonder what happened. And I'll tell you, yeah. I think we see all three of those in this picture, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know, LaVoy wasn't an extremist, and everyone wants to continue to label him so or put them in a group that is considered pretty extreme. But my husband was standing for dual federalism. He was for separation of powers.
Right.
He caught that in his videos. He talked about that over and over and over again. And so, you know, again, he wasn't a hater. He was a lover of America. He loved people. And he understood where the real change needed to take place, and that was with policy.
Well, absolutely. There you go. Yeah. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, the whole deal with, from what I gathered from, having listened to the videos on LaVoy have said and everything, was that he stood up for the Constitution and freedom and getting back to the document as it was intended and it was originally written. I mean, the separation of powers, equal but separate. You know, right now we've got a massive amount of power being basically consolidated in the executive branch of government. So it's completely out of control even now. So, we need to get back to the Constitution, and the education is the key. That's what Chris Ann Hall's about. That's what the Tea Parties are about. I mean, that's what this whole movement is about.
It's how we're winning.
And that's what LaVoy was trying to do. He was trying to educate in his way through his book, through a novel, really. He was trying to teach about individualism versus collectivism, about the importance of God and family and this country and in which the founders had spelled out in the Constitution. You know, I am associated with the Center for Self-Governance, who has produced the documentary on my husband, LaVoy Dead Man Talking, and episode one has just now been released, and we're traveling all over. In fact, we're going to be in California in a couple of days, and Mark is here with me, and I really appreciate his – he is committed to teaching, civics and how we as a populace and as an individual are responsible for making those changes within our own communities. And we can't possibly do that if we don't understand how government works.
Where can we find that video?
Well, here's Mark. Let me introduce Mark Herr to you.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, folks. How are you?
Good. How you doing today?
We're doing fantastic. We're having a wonderful tour of Western Washington State with some fantastic liberty-loving folks, and they're all over the country. And LaVoy's story is so inspiring to them, and it's causing them to have a reaction. And that's what Jeanette and our organization's objective is a call to action to the people of California. Rather than flee California, why not learn some chess skills? Learn some chess skills from LaVoy Finicum and see how you can make a difference in your state.
And so what's your full name, Mark? I mean, so if people wanted to get a hold of you or get the information that you've got, how would they do that?
My name is Mark Herr. My last name is H-E-R-R. I'm the president and co-founder of the Center for Self-Governance, and we teach applied civics. And we started this documentary about the Bundy Ranch standoff in 2014 on accident, and it turned into the part two LaVoy Dead Man Talking, three episodes, meeting Jeanette and her daughter at his 6-month memorial in Salt Lake City. And I personally did not agree with the strategy related to Malheur. And so I didn't know LaVoy Finicum. And so I researched him like you did. I watched his YouTube videos. There's over 8 hours of them.
Right.
And I prepared my speech based on that. And when I began to speak, people started booing me. And a lot of people rolled their eyes and some hissed. But Jeanette and Tara were crying because those were his quotes that I was speaking. And I realized these people, we had our martyr or we had our terrorist.
Right.
But what we didn't have was the man LaVoy Finicum and what is exactly that he was standing for. And so everyone was trying to use LaVoy for their purposes. The media was using him for theirs, the FBI and the policymakers for theirs, the liberty movement for theirs. But Jeanette and Tara were really trying to tell the story of LaVoy and what it is that he was actually standing for. And so our documentary about LaVoy Dead Man Talking, is really an attempt to bring both sides of the political equation together to say, is this where we want our country to go? Do we want to kill domestic extremists because they've been labeled that? Or do we actually want to have a conversation about dual federalism and due process and allow us to identify, are we really white supremacists or are we just dual federalists? I don't support white supremacy. Jeanette doesn't support white supremacy. She doesn't support extremism or domestic terrorism. Her entire family, 12 kids, 31 grandchildren, 5 on the way, 26 that are out here and 5 coming. I just have to confess, even though I wasn't in agreement in 2016, now that I've spent 2 years with this family and observed them, researched, read journals, watched videos, interviewed over 100 people, I cannot, if I were in a court of law, testify that they were extremists on the verge of committing an act of domestic terrorism. They're simply dual federalists wanting to uphold the Constitution and provide freedom for Native Indians, for Black people, for white people, for ranchers, for farmers, for foster kids, for anyone.
Mark,
it's a fascinating story.
Maybe you can explain what you've had this term you've spoken a couple of times here as dual federalism. Maybe you can explain that so people understand what you're talking about.
Fantastic. You know, there's another phrase called cooperative federalism, and that's what's replacing people like LaVoy Finicum, and they have to use labels in order to silence them. So what is it that LaVoy Finicum stood for? He stood for the separation of governments, and he says so in all of his YouTube videos. I believe in the federal government. I believe in the state government. I believe in the county government. So he believed in the separation of those governments. He also believed in the separation of powers, the separation of the legislative from the executive power and the executive power from the judicial power. And that is a concept not created by Lavoie-Finicum.
No.
That concept of dual federalism was created by James Madison.
Right, yeah.
The author of the Constitution of the United States.
Right.
And he wrote about it in the Federalist Papers, trying to convince the other colonies and states at the time to ratify the U.S. Constitution. So it's not an unprecedented political position. It's not an illegitimate political position. It is a position that most of us as the governed have. And it makes sense that the governing would take a cooperative federalism approach. They would want to combine the governments. They want to combine the powers. They want to combine the controls. It makes sense. But for us as the governed, all of us out there who are controlled by government, we're naturally in our heart and in our spirit dual federalists because we believe oppression is also a part of human nature too. And Lavoie was trying to articulate that. That is so what is so beautiful about his story and his message and what he was trying to convey when he went to Oregon to support the Hammonds. He was trying to show there should be a separation of FBI from Oregon State Police and from the Oregon State Police and the sheriff of Harney County. When they became combined, hope your listeners can hear this, when they became combined into one entity, they end up removing due process of this man, and they shot him in the back. And something that's very important piece of information is that for 9 hours, where he was shot, that scene was unsecure for 9 hours. That is not my opinion. That is court testimony. And so there are two bullets unaccounted for, and somebody is lying, and those are the governing. They're not the governed who are lying here about those two bullets that are unaccounted for. And so for 9 hours, unsecure location, and two bullets unaccounted for, no one's admitting to it, then how can we prove that he actually, how can we trust? If this is the point. Lavoie didn't trust him. That's why he left the first scene. And so how can we trust that that gun was not planted on him? It causes the American people, the governed, to question, and that's the reason why Lavoie was a dual federalist, is for that purpose, to prevent oppression. And that's what he stood for. And I think that's the important piece here that needs to come out in his story, is we're not trying to overthrow government. We're trying to preserve our government.
Restore.
Because it's well designed.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You know, I'm kind of with you, Mark. You know, at first when I'd never heard of Lavoie-Finicum, you know, and then I watched the videos that were coming out of there. And, you know, it's interesting that they had a drone there to take pictures of this whole thing to begin with. I mean, when you're going out to do a routine traffic stop, typically you don't have a drone flying overhead to take pictures of everything. And, but, well, was it three drones, you say?
No, two. There's a belief that there was multiple aircraft.
Anyway, what I'm saying is that I didn't know Lavoie from Adam at that point. And what I was trying to do is I actually started doing some research and watching his videos. And what struck me about Lavoie and his videos, and if anybody, I dare anybody to watch those 8 hours or whatever it is, and show me that this man had a mean bone in his body. I mean, this guy, from what I've seen, was a very kind man, and who was a very thoughtful man. And it just exudes, you know, it just pours out of those videos like that.
A man of humility.
A man of, yeah, I mean, he was a good guy, I think. And then that, then, I, you know, go back and look at what happened in up there with the police and all that stuff out there on the road. And you start piecing it all together. And, you know, the more we pieced it together, the madder I got. Because it's like, you know, it becomes pretty... plain as the nose on your face, in my opinion, that he was set up. And I think he was a danger to them because of the kind of man he was, because he wasn't a hater, because he was trying to educate people, because he wasn't afraid to stand up and speak up. You know, that's why he was eliminated, in my opinion, because he was a danger to them as far as, you know, the virus continuing to multiply.
You know, in the courtroom for Agent Astorita, one of the Oregon State Police officers testified, because they were asking all of them, did you consider these occupants to be armed and dangerous? But there was one officer who said, I considered them to be armed. And then everyone kind of paused for a second because it was almost a gasp because, and dangerous? And he says, well, do you want my personal opinion? And that was a mind-blowing thing because I think what we've got to do in our country is not attack the FBI and the Oregon State Police and the Harney County, but hold them accountable to their authority. At the same time, let's promote a dialogue across our country that says, are we willing to kill each other because somebody has been labeled a domestic extremist on the verge of committing an act of domestic terrorism without due process? Are we okay with that? I can tell you, on both sides of the political scale, they're bothered by Snowden and his release of the NSA and people tapping their phones and their social media and look at Google and all the censoring. And so there's something we have in common in our country. We all love liberty. We all love freedom. And that's Lavoie's message. You can see it. You can hear it in his YouTube videos. That's the thing that inspires me, is that I don't see, and maybe we need to have the conversation. What is the definition of an extremist? What is the definition of a terrorist? Let's move forward and tell Lavoie's story and have his legacy solidified in the position that we can have a conversation again in our country and have a clear conversation about whether or not we want to be killing people because they've been labeled a certain thing.
My question is when you have things that have grown to the proportion that they have and have become just so vitriolic, and where one side especially is supporting, promoting, and committing violence as a act of political participation, how do you step back from that precipice?
You speak up. You know, for instance, I had to do that. I had to separate myself from those who were clamoring and using my husband as their poster child for Blue ISIS. You have to stand up and say, no, this is not what I stand for. You have to be responsible in defining who you are yourself and not allowing others to co-opt you into their agenda and their cause. And that's just one example that I have.
Thank you.
I have a quote here, and I think this kind of says a lot about what we're talking about here. And this is from Mahatma Gandhi. You know, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, and then they fight you, then you win. And what he said was basically, peaceful protest was more powerful than anything that you could do. I mean, that was Martin Luther King's take on everything as well, is that you don't have to be violent to protest peacefully to win.
Well, that's a great, a great statement, because we have the ability to use words, and when we are labeled white supremacist, militia, domestic extremist on the verge of committing acts of domestic terrorism, what that does is that puts you in a position that paints you in a particular corner where your words don't have as much meaning, or they get marginalized or delegitimized. And then this is the case of what happened to Lavoie Finicum. He was trying to communicate a dual federal position, which is a legitimate founding political position. And it's being delegitimized by connecting him to all those labels. So he was labeled sovereign citizen to terrorist. He was labeled militia, which he was not a member of any militia. He didn't fit the definition from Department of Homeland Security's lexicon on sovereign citizen. He did not fit their definition for right-wing extremist. He did not fit their definition for anti-abortion, anti-immigration, militia, bigot, hate group, populist, nativist. I mean, all of the things in their lexicon. And so, again, it comes back to this point. Our documentary is really to allow him to tell the story in his own words. It's called Lavoie Dead Man Talking. It's in 3 episodes, and we're traveling across the country to show it. We're leaving Washington State tomorrow, and we're headed to California, by the way. We're going to be in Redding tomorrow night at 5:30 in Redding, California, and then Yreka on the 11th, and Sacramento on the 12th, and so on and so forth, all the way up until the 16th. And you can go to Jeanette's website, One Cowboys Stand for Freedom. Look at her calendar, and if you can make it, come out there. Tell your friends, even those who disagree with Lavoie, at least come and be a part of the conversation again. Let's make talking politics between each other civil again.
Well, I'll tell you, and howdy.
I think it's valid.
Absolutely, you know, because that's what they want to do, it seems like, in Washington and the powers that have been in power, you know, the deep state and so forth, the Obama administration, is the politics of identity, is they want to compartmentalize you into a group so that they can identify you and play you off one against another group. And that way, everybody's fighting amongst themselves as opposed to looking at the real problem, which is, you know, big, out-of-control government that's taking over all of our lives and is no longer adhering to the Constitution. And you know, the Constitution was set up with God at the top of it. I mean, and the reason they did that was because if God gave you your rights and your rights were, you know, undeniable or unalienable, then the only one that could take your rights away from you was God. And now what we're getting into is states' rights as far as your rights are all given from the state, whether it's the federal government, the state. You know, they're not coming from God. They're coming from the state. And if the state gives you your rights, the state can take them away. This civil rights, I believe, are not the kind of rights that we want. We want God-given rights and not this...
Which we're entitled to.
Absolutely, which
yes.
are
born with.
Yes. We're born with, and not this Saul Alinsky version of what our government should be.
Right.
Well, that was a mouthful. Well, you know, I mean, we know you're going to be at the Patriot meeting here in Reading tomorrow night, and that's going to be at 6 p.m., and we want everybody who's interested in hearing more about your story and everything else to come out and see you. What else can we cover here while we have you on the air? We got about, half an hour or so left here before...
Yeah, what would you guys like to go over?
I think one of the things that Jeanette and I have been communicating when we first premiered the documentary at the Red Pill Expo in Spokane is a couple of things. One is the media, the day before the Red Pill put out two articles that linked Lavoie to right-wing, far-right, alt-right, militia, sovereign citizen. They used the entire lexicon in their articles. And so they labeled Lavoie a certain way. And then when we presented the documentary, Jeanette spoke, the movies happened, et cetera, and there were standing ovations, et cetera. And the crowd, you got to understand, the crowd at the Red Pill, that's not a standing ovation kind of a crowd, okay? They're very intellectual. They're there for a specific person, but they were very moved, very touched. And the journalist who wrote those articles wrote an article the next day, and he quoted Lavoie Finicum verbatim and did not label him any of those titles. So it gave... I watched Jeanette become emotional because of that. I'm just telling you what I observed. And she said to me, it's because that's the first time any article had portrayed my husband in the true light of what he said. And so that's the first thing. One is the media, and how do we stop label lynching in our country? How do we get label lynching terminated in our country? How do we get it to be contemptuous in our culture again? That's one thing I would like to hammer, is the label lynching.
Right. The press is, that's what they've done from day one, because they're, in my mind, they are in cahoots with the thinkers and the talkers. They are the talkers, right? You know, they're out there talking about the narrative and describing it in the way that they want the American people to swallow. And we do, because we are distracted. You talked earlier about all of these different fractions. We are. We are so busy and so distracted with all of the infighting and the different things that we need to concentrate on, and that's really what they want. They want us to be distracted. They want us to be so busy mm-hmm. fighting the checkers game that we don't even begin to start playing the chess game they're playing on us.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have to just kind of, you know, maybe put aside all of these, the checker game and these issues that are driving us apart, because that is what they want us to do. They want to pit one group against another. That gets us distracted in fighting those fights. When we miss the boat, we miss the complete boat, and before you know it, here we are. The ship is sinking, and America is no longer America.
I really believe that the boat is turning around. I really do. I mean, I'm the guy that always sees the cup half full, but, you know.
I agree with you, and I have faith that we can do this. My husband had faith that we could do this. We can do this with God's help, because this is God's country. And if we stand with him, it can be done.
And I can see it. To testify what she's saying, I can see the effect it's having. When I was at her and Lavoie's daughter's wedding reception and watching all the siblings and the grandchildren, for the first time, I think they had a measure of happiness. And it was the same church building that they held his funeral. So there was a sad time, and then there's this moment where their daughter together, and I interviewed all of them and asked them, what would you say to Lavoie? And they loved him. They missed him. They are proud of him. And what would he say to the crowd? And he'd say, stand, stand. We have to stand and not overthrow. Stand. There's a difference. And I think it's a beautiful thing to see because it's not just happening to the Finicum family. I see it happening around the country.
Yep.
I'm here in Washington State, and we went to a GOP mainstream establishment thing last night. And I'm telling you, I felt uncomfortable there just naturally because they've never really embraced the Tea Party or the Liberty or dual federalism. And I don't know why. But anyway, so I felt uncomfortable personally. But it was so impressive. I was so impressed. The person who was running the event, and I won't say their name here, but just they were running this event. It's mainstream. It's GOP. It's all that stuff. And he actually took the time to say, after he announced all of their candidates and incumbents and blah, 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 he says, we have a special guest here tonight. And Jeanette did not know this was going to happen. And he recognized Jeanette Finicum at a mainstream GOP event. I can't tell you. As the widow of Lavoie Finicum, I can't tell you guys from a messaging standpoint how important it was important on one hand because it opens the door to conversation.
I believe that's true.
And then I also see this happening because there are people starting to realize we are being divided.
Yep.
We are being pushed away from each other. And the third thing that we're kind of hoping that to be able to talk about is related to threats. How do these threat assessments get done at the federal level? How does the lexicon get written? How do we have remedy and due process to say, wait a minute, hold on, time out, guys. Who gets to say that I am a domestic extremist traveling to Redding, California tomorrow to commit an act of domestic terrorism? Who gets to define words?
Yeah, the words. We are watching our words being redefined, militia, sovereign citizen, terrorist. Oh, well, that's not the example. But it has with the SPLC. I mean, we have to take back our dictionary. We have to take back the definition of these words and not allow them to continue to demonize them and create new meaning to these words.
Why is the Southern Poverty Law Center... Why were they providing intelligence on the people that they assigned those words to in 2009 through 2017? Why did they have a contract with the FBI to do that? It was terminated in September of last year. But now Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all of those major masters of the universe, Wikipedia, they all receive their hate watch intelligence from Southern Poverty Law Center. And then if you guys notice,
totally
all of those organizations in the past 3 months have given testimony before the Senate, and it's related to dealing with extremism. So guess what? They're still getting their intelligence on who they believe extremists are.
Well,
and so that's – go ahead.
And they're shutting down the First Amendment rights of a lot of people through the media. We've been doing this show now, for 8 years? And, you know, you can see what they've been doing on the social media sites. I mean, you know, it used to be that my post would go out, you know, 5,000 wide. Now they're like 25 people getting them.
Right, now.
And, you know, so they're taking over the social medias. And so we have to keep finding new ways to get out there to get something other than the deep state, if you will, for lack of a better term. What the information that they want everybody to hear and the thought shaping through the media and these social medias and so forth. And I still think we're winning because, you know, it's getting to the point where everybody's starting to understand how the game's being played. And I think through Freedom of Information Acts, Fitton and the Judicial Watch and the ACLJ and a lot of other organizations are all starting to go after these things and get these documents. You know, the court case with the Bundys and the discovery is starting to find out who's been actually been running the show in our country for quite a while, and it hasn't been us.
And now we're starting to wake up, and of course we're behind the curve on a defensive position, but we can start to take an offensive position by, number one, why not your audience, if they're willing, hashtag on Twitter label lynching, hashtag label lynching, make label lynching a term that goes viral. Ask them to stop label lynching you. Accuse them when they call you a white supremacist, bigot, Nazi, fascist, homophobic, et cetera, et cetera. Accuse them of a hate crime. And then report it.
Hmm.
Quit label lynching, because the lynching results in destroying your reputation or harming your business, making your radio show hard to put out there to get your message out. And worse, getting Clive and Bundy and his supporters put in prison for 700 days without bail because they were a domestic terrorist threat to the United States. Or, even worse than that, killed on a remote highway in Oregon, trapped at a dead man's stop, shot at 8 times with no due process. That's what label lynching's results are. So make label lynching a term that competes with white supremacy.
Hmm.
And say, listen, prove that I'm a white supremacist in a court of law. And we want to encourage your audience, too. Start considering. Take these people to court. It's libel. It's slander. And a couple other things. One is, we'd really like for you guys to consider, after we come to California and you get to know Lavoie a little bit more, make his legacy permanent. The legal battles will end, but the legacy shouldn't. Two, consider helping us get this documentary series hosted in other parts of your state. And not just your echo chambers. Go beyond. Go beyond to the people who do believe in liberty and freedom. But maybe you guys don't agree because you've been trained to fight each other. And then three, would you go to Jeanette's website and help her with her legal battle? It's not going to be cheap, and it's not going to be short. It's exhausting. Just while I was in the courtroom with Astorita, I was exhausted.
Wow.
Help her with that.
Well,
and then make label lynching a term that goes viral across the country.
We've been playing as an honor to Lavoie Finicum. My hero's always been Cowboys now on this program ever since he died. And I don't think we've missed one program, and that's so everybody knows that's why we play that. Because we're not going to forget about it. You know, it's not going to go away. We want this to, you know, if nothing else, you know, his memory will live on. And all of us forever, because that's really the power of what has happened here and the sacrifice that he made for everybody.
And we want to educate people and let them know what's going on and the truth and why it happened.
With that, we probably need to get at least one more break in.
I don't know. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Sometimes late at night, I lie awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams, so I turn out the lights and lay there in the dark. And a thought crosses my mind. If I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel about her in my heart? If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I love? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? And if my time on earth were through, she must face this world without me. Is the love I gave her in the past gonna be enough to last? If tomorrow never comes.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 9600.
This is Diane Hawks at the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Free Fire Media Community Radio over the North State.
Wow. I think Red has a question for you, Jeanette.
Okay.
Well, I was just curious, and if this is too personal, forgive me, but I was just kind of curious with, you know, everything that's gone on and the fight that you've been in for these years now, and have you even had time to really step back and truly mourn your husband? I mean, it's kind of like you've gone from this horrific event to kind of thrown into the fire. And I mean, how do you find the strength to do what you do?
Wow, those are quite a few good questions. My strength comes from my Heavenly Father, from my faith, from my belief in God. And I get on my knees and I'm constantly praying for the strength and the peace that I need to be able to move forward, because I don't want to operate from a place from anger or hate, because that's destructive. And, you know, I turn it over to God and I turn it over to Him, and He is the one that gives me the peace that I need to move forward and the strength to move forward. Have I truly grieved? No, I know that I continue to, I think the traveling has helped me to process a lot. But I know that I am still in that process.
Absolutely.
Because of all of the things, because of the unusual way he was murdered, and it's so public, and I'm continuing to be out there because I'm determined to not allow them to define who he was. He was such a good man and a good husband and a good father that he doesn't deserve to be maligned in the way that he has. And, I think the experience when my dog was just recently shot and killed in my front yard, I think just that experience alone testified to me that I truly have not gone through the grieving process, because it was like, you know, going through my husband being murdered all over again. I don't know how to explain it, but I just know that that's what came to my mind, and that was 2 years into, you know, 2 years after Lavoie's death that our dog was shot and killed. And so I know that I have a long way to go in that process.
Yeah, I can understand. This has been a tough year for us. Our mother died. I mean, but I can understand what you're saying. I mean, my horse died, my dog died this year. It was just a crazy year. And
everybody has to process differently.
Yeah, it was like it's like sometimes you cry over we were over there cleaning out my mom's house or apartment over there, and I was crying over a spoon drip that she'd had all her life, you know. I mean, so I can understand,
right.
It kind of comes in waves sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, you don't know exactly what's going to, you know, maybe make you tear up in depending on what you see and what you feel.
Well, I want to let you know from us how much he's come to mean to us. I mean, I've shown my own children his videos, and I'm trying to teach him what he was trying to impart. And I just want to say thank you for sharing such a great man with us. And I'm sorry that we've gotten to such a place that we needed him, but we did.
Well, I'm thankful for your kind remarks, and I know that Lavoie would be honored that you are sharing his message with your children, because that is what he said. I'm doing this for my children. And so
that's I think a lot of us are.
And we will keep on sharing the message.
It's for our posterity. It's for the generations that are yet to come. I mean, I look at my grandkids, and I mean, I do a lot of this stuff absolutely just for them. I mean, because, you know, we're getting older, you know, things don't matter as much for myself as it does, you know, what do you want to pass on? I mean, what do you want to give the children of America in 10, 15, 20, 30 years, or longer? And that's really why I think everybody is doing this, is trying to do this for the right reasons, so that, and that's why I think we're winning. I think that we're winning because it is about truth.
It is
about freedom. It is about those things in life that we all cherish. And I think that all comes from a belief in a higher power, that there is a right and wrong, and that there is things that you should, pay attention to more than, you know, the earthly goods and having more money in your pocket and that type of thing. So the material stuff.
Yeah, you certainly can't take any of that with you, can you?
No,
you
can't.
No, it's hard to fit all that in the box. And you just have to. But I think that the legacy that you leave can last forever as far as, you know, what you stood up for. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what to add to that.
And again, we will see you tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Patriot.
Yes, we will be. Let me give you the address. We'll be in Reading at 2570 South Bonneville.
Bonneville Road.
Okay.
Very good.
We'll see you then.
Hey, we'll see you then.
Thank
today.
You so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks
we
for coming on.
It.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
God bless you too.
Wow, that's a pretty hard,
powerful testimony, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, act to follow here. I mean, and now what are we gonna? Now what are we gonna talk about? Maybe we should go to a break. Let's go to one more break, Jared, and then we'll come back and maybe we can compose ourselves and coast out to the top of the hour.
All right, you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping car fire relief. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with Floater, Lit, Candlebox, and headliners AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket, all, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to car fire relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for car fire relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-780.
We could let that go on for quite a little while, you know. Being Scots Irish, man, that just gets my blood pumping. I hear those bagpipes.
What are you in a fight?
I'm telling you, I'm ready to go out and fight somebody. And you know, that's what we're doing. You know, maybe we don't have to have a physical fight, but by gosh, we're in a fight.
We're in a scrap.
Yeah, and you know, that there's, like I say, there's something about those bagpipes that just turns my whole attitude around and gets me to want to dig in and, and you know.
Where are they?
Where are they? Absolutely. Anyway, we got about 5 minutes here. I'm not sure how we topped the last hour and a half, 2 hours, but there are a few things that are going on in the world. I mean, headline-wise, I mean, Twitter suspends Benghazi hero after criticism of President Obama. Yeah, there's no media shaping out there. Let's see. Here's what Chris Peronto had to say. Benghazi is a conspiracy, Barack Obama. That's what Barack Obama said yesterday in his little speech.
I'm curious exactly which part of Benghazi is the conspiracy.
The part where he didn't send help in and they told everybody to stand down, him and Hillary.
Yeah, they had no desire to send
any
help.
Help?
No.
I mean, really, if you get at the base of this thing, irregardless of all of the peripheral, what it comes down to is you, Barack Obama, Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America, lost an American ambassador and American citizens on your watch. You screwed up, pal.
Yeah, and let me read the whole tweet.
It's kind of like murder.
Yeah,
so Benghazi is a conspiracy at Barack Obama. How about we do this? Let's put your cowardly ass on top of a roof with six of your buddies and shoot RPGs and AK-47s at you while terrorists lob 81mm mortars, killing two of your buddies, all the while waiting for U.S. support that you never sent. Hashtag scum.
Yeah.
Wow, I guess that got him off Twitter.
Mm.
Hmm.
And they made those guys believe that help was coming.
He didn't sound like he was a little ticked off, did he?
Yeah.
Just maybe a bit.
Maybe a little bit. And I
but
think...
I think we should all be...
A little ticked off?
Ticked off.
Yesterday, Obama's speech made me ill.
I won't watch it. I'm sorry.
But tell
not
me,
do
the fact that they're even trotting him out doesn't mean that they're not desperate.
I think there's something happening here, and something big is coming down the pipe. I really do. I believe that. I believe that there is something that is behind the scenes. And, I was listening to Greg Mannarino the other day, and he said all war is deception. I think we are in a war, and I think
we
that,
are in a war. We're in right now. We're in an information war.
Absolutely. I believe that that's absolutely true. All wars are deception, and that is right out of Sun Tzu, and I think that's what's going on here. I think that the Democrats, Liawathas and the Elizabeth Morons are just absolutely terrified of what's happening, not only just what's coming up in the elections, because I think the blue tide is going to turn into a red wave. And not only that, but I think that there are arrests and indictments coming down the pipe.
I think the blue tide gets shoved in a pod and eaten by a millennial.
I love your metaphors. That's awesome.
Okay.
But the real deal is they just now, we know they're investigating Rosenstein, and they just convened a grand jury over McCabe. I think these guys are starting to get scared that, Trump's going to play for keeps here.
There is a lot of evidence that's pointing towards there's something seismic coming.
It's not just one thing. There's a bunch of stuff.
And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a war. Whether you're engaged in it or not, we're in a war for the heart and soul of this country. And right now it is an information war. And, that's what makes the testimony of Jeanette and them so powerful today, is it is about how you stand, and you need to stand.
And we have a caller on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yep, hurry up, Mark.
Yep, I'm here.
All right, we got a couple minutes.
Yeah,
go for it.
Okay, really quick, it's time for a red wave in California. There is a war. You're absolutely right. So is Sun Tzu. It's the war between good and evil, and it is taking place right now in this state. So if you don't want to pay taxes on your haircut, taxes for every gallon of water that comes out of your well, taxes on everything you do and every breath you take and every step you make, under the liar Gavin Newsom, who can't even tell the truth to his wife and his best friend, we had better stand up and act, and we don't have all day.
Boy,
I have to agree with that one.
Boy, howdy. I'll tell you what, it's getting into the 11th hour here. You better start showing up to the voting booth, and you better start getting involved with the state of Jefferson, because the real deal is that this is not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, fire up the pipes.
Well, we appreciate you calling
in. I think we're just about out of time, Mark, but hey, we appreciate your insight, and feel free to call back to the show anytime.
Okay, you guys do a great job. God bless you all, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right.
Thanks,
all
right,
Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, very good.
It.
So we're probably going to hear the music any second now, and
yeah.
It has been a heck of a ride today.
Yeah, get yourself off your pimple patch and into the scrap, boy.
Absolutely. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, and truth over lies.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.